All right, this is Pure Decking for October the 24th, 2013. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like descending into a police state, information security, and messing up the soundboard with the intro on it. I'm Warps. Tonight we have Madman, RU486, and some guy calling himself Sard.
So, that's Dr. Sard to you.
I thought RU was the one with the honorary doctorate.
I'm his nurse practitioner.
I'm WRD. Which doctor are you?
Right.
I'm going to change my screen name.
Which doctor? MD.
I'm going to change my screen name, I think. WRD.
I like it. I like it. All right. So, right. I've got some scotch. Johnny Walker. We know RU486 is currently drinking his...
Coffee with penicillin.
Yeah, there you go. I was going to say morphine, but that works too. Just morphine in a cup.
Ether later on. Ether off the dock.
There you go. What do you got, Sard?
I had a beer earlier, and now I've switched over to strawberry soda, because that shit is delicious.
So do you have it in the hollowed out pineapple with the little frilly, you know, straws and the umbrella?
But that's a good idea.
He said strawberry soda, not strawberry daiquiri.
I
thought you like grape soda, man.
I do. I love grape soda too. Yeah, I love all fruit sodas. That shit's delicious.
You
except pineapple. Pineapple
is
gross.
Any shit in your body, won't you?
I will eat anything, but
fuck, I won't touch drugs.
Exactly. That shit'll kill you.
I will drink soda, but fuck, I ain't smoking weed. That'll kill me.
That's right.
So,
as your doctor.
Listen to your witch doctor. It's witch doctor recommended. What do you got, Madman?
I've got Blind Faith. It's an IPA from Magic Hat.
Oh, I thought you were about to get religious on us there for a second.
It's like, what the fuck?
I thought you went to a bin party and brought home a jug. You ever been to one of them, Madman?
when you just dump a bunch of stuff in like a bathtub?
Yeah, go get a 20-gallon bin from Walmart or something, and make sure you clean it out. And every bottle that someone brings to your party, you just dump it all into one bottle. Then you hand out cups, and everyone just drinks out of the bin all night.
As long as it doesn't congeal.
Yeah. We normally call that jungle juice. When you were thinking, like, Blind Faith, I was thinking moonshine that makes you go blind. That shit is harsh.
You're supposed to water that down, you know?
No, you're supposed to age it properly and use the correct sugars.
Oh, well,
take the methanol out of it.
Yeah, if you've not aged it properly, you're supposed to water it down.
Oh, that just means you have to drink more of it before you go blind.
Ethanol. Yeah. Ethanol doesn't blend well with water.
Fair point. Okay. Well, let's move right into it here. So, earlier this week, Sard sent me a story, and the first time I read it, I was just kind of like, there's something we're missing here. But the more I've looked at it, the more it's just kind of pissed me off. So, it's a story on the Register, and the headline is Hacker Loses Fourth Amendment Rights, which I'm not sure that that's accurate, but the important bits of the story here. A U.S. district court has ruled that anyone calling themselves a hacker loses their Fourth Amendment protections against unreasonable searches and property seizures, which I'm not sure that's true because I'm not sure if the court gave a warrant for this or not. The court in Idaho decided that a software developer's computer could be seized without him being notified, primarily because his website stated, and this is the quote from the website, "We like hacking things and we don't want to stop." The ruling came down in a case brought by Batil Energy Alliance against an ex-employee, Corey Thunen, and his company, South Fork Security. Thunen, while working for Batil, helped develop an application today known as Sophia, which fires off alerts if it detects industrial control equipment is coming under electronic attack. So if somebody's trying to get into a SCADA system, this thing is basically an IDS. I lost my place. Bastille, which was tasked with beefing up the computer security of the U.S. electricity plants, energy sources, and other critical sites, wanted to license the technology, but Thunen hoped to open source the code, according to the plaintiff. Thunen left Bastille and started marketing his own product. Bastille claims he stole the code and his product is a knockoff. What elevates this case from the run-of-the-mill intellectual property dispute is that Batil persuaded the court to allow it to seize. Oh, that's what it was. The Batil lawyers went and got the damn thing. They went in and seized his computer to copy its files. The district court ruled that the programmer had the skills as a hacker to release the contested code publicly and destroy any evidence if he knew a seizure was imminent. And the actual quote from the court here is, the court has struggled over the issue of allowing the copying of the hard drive. This is a serious invasion of privacy and is certainly not a standard remedy. The tipping point for the court comes from the evidence that the defendants, in their own words, are hackers. By labeling themselves in this way, they have essentially announced that they have the necessary computer skills and intent, so the word hacker has an intent associated with it, to simultaneously release the code publicly and conceal their role in the act. And concealment likely involves the destruction of the evidence on the hard drive of Thunen's computer. For these reasons, the court finds that this is one of the very rare cases that justifies the seizure and copying of the hard drive. The plaintiff also organized the temporary restraining order against Thunen and South Fork Security without prior notice, primarily because, again, the South Fork website declared, we like hacking things and we don't want to stop. So because this guy put on his website that we like hacking things, the court went ballistic and approved everything the Batil company wanted. Because the defendant is a hacker. Oh no, horror. You know, we saw that movie. Those guys are bad. I mean, what did nobody bother to explain to the court that hacker could mean somebody who likes to code and make shit work as well as the standard issue break into systems?
Well, it's been so mediatized now, that's what everyone thinks. When you say hacker, no one thinks of the original definition of a hacker.
They don't know the denotation, they just know the connotation that's been assigned to it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really unfortunate that we didn't get the word cracker to catch on for...
Yeah,
you know,
because,
I mean,
like I said, I guess there is a difference.
I guess there weren't enough... how do I make the joke?
The reason cracker didn't catch on... is cracker has a previous negative connotation to it.
Yeah.
I am a cracker. I can say cracker and honky all I want. So I was trying to think of a joke, but I can't do it without sounding
Are you
racist.
A Floridian?
No,
that
honky,
was the original honky. Meaning of a cracker. No. It then got changed to people that beat slaves with whips.
Whoops.
And now it's a derogatory term for white people.
Oh, so whip crack. I get it.
The cracking sound that a whip makes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, cracker already has a few things, and no one remembers the original denotation of a cracker. It's another name for a Floridian originally. They used bull whips and whipped cattle, not black people. Originally. I think they also may have whipped black people. They were in the South.
Probably hit him with sticks too, but hey, I'm not here to judge.
But because this guy described himself on a website as a hacker, the court said that's intent, and basically just, you know, through the whole concept of, you know, a warrant or, you know, even notifying this guy he had a court case against him, apparently.
they possibly still got the warrant. The whole downside is, in a civil case, generally, you have a right to argue your case before they come in and take your shit. They didn't even notify him, is the big thing with this.
Yeah, they came in, took his computer, put a restraining order on him, and then let him know they had a case against him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems totally bass-ackwards.
So, but I mean, so what, if you label yourself, you start losing rights?
If you label yourself as a child rapist and run a website, then yes, that is an admission of guilt. The question here is hacker labeling yourself a criminal?
Apparently it
is. Does the connotation trump anything else? I know hacker originally meant someone that thought out of the box. It wasn't a bad thing or a good thing. It was just a thing.
In terms of IT, it was pretty much somebody who hacks at a system or code until it works. That's where it came from.
It was a person that could take apart a radio, figure out how it works, and then put it back together.
That's a terrorist today.
Oh, right. Well, you know, speaking of terrorists, I mean, there have been people calling themselves terrorists on the internet forever before 9/11. There's an old Rant IRC group that did that. You know, one of the teams in Counter-Strike. So, I mean, you know, Your Honor, we have a screenshot of the defendant playing Counter-Strike. You can clearly see he's on the terrorist team. He needs to be waterboarded. I mean, what the fuck, right?
Exactly. That's why this is like, I don't know, I'm really, that would be an awful precedent if, like Memon was saying earlier, if this doesn't get appealed and you know, dismissed.
Well, the precedent's somewhat set. If the guy wins the lawsuit, he's not going to appeal any of the decisions in the case because it's not going to be financial. It won't be financially viable for him. But if this guy who had his crap seized loses this lawsuit, I can see his lawyers challenging everything on due process simply because they seized his crap for him for himself calling himself a hacker. And I could see arguments in court on what the actual denotation of a hacker is.
Well, you know, Mation in the chat room has a fantastic point here. What about all the people who are like, thug life, I mean...
Yeah. Now, are all those people...
Are all of them going to be brought up on gang charges? Because,
yeah, exactly.
I mean...
Because they label themselves
have
that.
Have you heard of Stop and Frisk in New York?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, but that's just anyone.
That's, well... That's anyone who dresses a certain way and has a tan. very dark tan. They were born with, strangely enough. Anyway,
weird.
Strange that.
Didn't they train the police dogs to be racist? I mean, that was kind of an IGN story, but I mean...
The big thing here is whether or not hacker is an admission of guilt. I don't think it is, but I actually know what hacker means.
Right. Well, like I said, it's the media portrayal of what a hacker is, so everyone now thinks, oh, hacker, they're in my bank account now.
I'm just waiting for Discovery Channel to like do a whole reality 12 episode series on hackers of the underground or some shit. Like they're doing gun running, bikey gangs, like. Which is one stupid one last night where some bikers supposedly live on camera beat up and destroyed this guy's still. Then there's another one where it's just all these bullshit reality ones. It can't be long before they have some hacker one, man.
It wouldn't surprise me if there already is one.
There's that could be one... so boring. Let's look at some IRC logs for a while.
Yeah.
Doomsday Preppers, that sort
there
of crap.
Was, I saw it on Netflix the other day. There was one they were doing, the Criminal Underground, and the guy doing it. I watched a couple of them because they were kind of mildly interesting, if nothing else, just to see what they did. But the guy doing the documentary was like he was a dude bro, and that really didn't help. Especially the way he was talking to some of these people. It's like, I know that you've got actors there. You might have actually gone and talked to some real people, but these are actors. Because if you said that to an actual drug dealer, he would have shot you. But, you know, he went around with some identity thieves who, what they did was the dumbest ones ever. I mean, it's like that's not even real identity theft. That's just credit fraud. They showed him cloning somebody's credit card, and then
was that the dude that said he could make like $8,000 in an hour?
Yeah,
cloning someone's identity.
Yeah, no, but all he was doing was cloning a credit card, going into Best Buy, buying a laptop, and then selling it on Craigslist for like $200 less than he paid for it.
I really think people don't understand how credit cards, and shit like that work. It's a fucking magnet strip. All it has is numbers on it.
You just need a card reader to make one.
Yeah, a card reader and a card writer. It doesn't... You can put anything you want on
player?
A card.
The new RFDI chips are fucking ridiculous, though. They're tough. I don't know if you guys have those yet.
Some of our cards have the RFIDs, but not many of them. They're not mandatory or anything.
Right.
They keep pushing for it, and it keeps not happening. But, yeah. I don't know. I feel like in this particular case, there's probably something more going on that's not reported in the story. They did have some blurb at the end about how there might be some national security concerns because power plants are involved. But, I mean, does this mean they're going to drag up any old bullshit reason to get what they want just because it might, you know? I guess. I mean, at this point, it's like, oh, he said he's a hacker. That's probable cause. I mean, what?
Yeah, how?
He's wearing like, a blue shirt. Quick, beat the shit out of him. I mean...
Right, exactly. And it's the same thing.
Actually, with his business, We Like Hacking Stuff would be a legitimate tagline. He's a security consultant. That's how you test a system.
Yeah, it is. You go out and pay somebody.
Hi, I just opened this bank. I want to do online checking. I put up this system. It doesn't actually have access to any of our accounts yet. I put a dummy account on it. See if you can steal money out of that. I am correct. That is the way you should test a system before going live with it, right?
That would be fantastic. Nobody does it. What actually happens is 6 months after implementation, they let the security team know, so then you go test it with live data. But I'm right now dealing with a fantastic issue at work where we've got a device that was purchased and paid for. Oh, and it turns out the web server has a directory traversal vulnerability. So, Yeah, and the response was great. They didn't believe me. It's like, how are you getting that file? You can't get that through the web server. Fine. Here's the fucking netcat command. here's your Etsy password. Here's your bash history for the root account. Here's your sudoers file. Have a nice day.
So is this an exploit you're selling to anyone yet?
No, because it's a stupid ass exploit. And it
doesn't
should
mean
have
it's
been
not
patched
worth
a
money.
Long time ago. But, I mean, actually, when you get to Digital Dojo, you'll see where I was going with the thing before I decided, okay, that's enough. Report it to the vendor. So, I don't know. I mean, shit. I guess a court of law could listen to Pure Decking and then just come and arrest all of us. I mean.
Not me. I'm a moron.
Oh, okay.
Just for the record. I know like, nothing.
It's like you do a
and
segment
you're in
called,
a different country.
We've just looked at the links on your Digital Dojo segment, and we just decided to arrest you and beat the shit out of you.
Actually, hang on, Madman. When has that ever stopped America from just snatching someone?
I can't
they
think of a
with,
recent case, but I'm certain
they tried it,
it
with
happened.
Kim.com, man. They almost got that fucker.
Almost. They didn't almost. Succeed.
They had another crack with a dude in Somalia a couple weeks ago. Bad intel, though.
Snowden. He's in Russia, and we haven't got him yet.
Yet.
Hey, I cover my bases. I don't think they'll extradite him. I think they're going to just send a sniper to Russia.
Look at that idiot Assange, man. He hasn't been able to leave a one-bedroom fucking apartment for how long? Nearly 2.5 years now? Because he's fear of being black-bagged?
Yeah.
Yeah, but just living outside the U.S. doesn't mean you're immune to the laws.
No, it just means we have to spend more to arrest you.
Well, hell, it's like Pirate Bay. How many freaking DMCA complaints do they get on a regular basis? I mean, it's like we're not hosted in the United States. Your laws don't apply. And some of their email chains are fantastic. So
yeah.
All right, let's move on here to current events. Not to sound terribly uninterested, I'm just tired. Sorry. So, first story up is from iDownloadBlog.com. Throughout last year, Apple-friendly websites were infested with an avalanche of ugly commenters by anonymous posters concerning the iPhone, iPad, and Apple brand in general. They just went to 4chan. Anyways, while website owners were reluctant to publicly point the finger of blame at South Korean conglomerate, many had suspected it was no coincidence that Samsung was riding high on its anti-Apple ad campaign. Conveniently, hate spewing quickly died down after the Taiwan's Trade Fair Commission in April launched an investigation into Samsung's tactics following the company's admission of guilt about, in its own words, the unfortunate incident which occurred due to insufficient understanding. Though Samsung had said it had ceased all marketing activities that involved the posting of anonymous comments, like that's a thing, the FTC, after finding Samsung indeed hired a large number of hired writers and designated employees to trash talk competition of web comments, has decided to slap the Galaxy maker with a $340,000 fine. So, yeah. I don't even need to read the rest of the story because it's mostly bullshit and them going on about it. Taiwan's Fair Trade Commission is fining Samsung for going on websites anonymously and trashing Apple. in the comments section.
Hey, on Taiwan's hissy at someone for manufacturing something that wasn't exactly legit. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
But
hold on a second. Before China ended up in the big player of the market on counterfeit goods, where did all the superior dodgy shit come from? Just saying. Just throwing it out there, Taiwan.
Yeah, I find this very amusing that Samsung actually got hit with a fine for saying bad shit about Apple in comments boxes on websites.
If you don't have actual reason, it's slander.
It is slander, but
I'm sorry, not slander. It's libel. It's printed.
Oh, right. But I mean, you combine that with the story we talked about at the opening of, you know, somebody on a website called themselves a hacker and the court said they had no rights because of it. I'm really glad I mostly use a pseudonym when I'm online because this is getting stupid.
You're not a hacker. Exactly. You're a security professional.
Well, that's true.
Well, what prevents me from going onto Samsung's website and writing, you know, Samsung has, you know, children labor in China that makes all their products for them. So now they should lose their Fourth Amendment right. Everyone should just go in there and just, you know, gank all their stuff.
Because a couple things. They wouldn't lose their Fourth Amendment because child labor, I think, is legal in China.
Well, okay, they do it. They're doing
it here
in the
U.S. They don't have Fourth Amendment protection.
Well, you know. Just trying to link it to the first story. It's like, just because they said that doesn't mean it's necessarily true.
Well, on that one, it would be a libel suit against you. I don't think they would bother with one comment. The reason Samsung got nailed is they were smart about it and got a bunch of people. I guess you could write a script to just start posting that. That might get enough attention for them to go after you.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's... look at sites like Yelp and stuff like that. That's like... I mean, we've run stories about that before where...
Yelp blackmails people? Yeah.
Yeah, well, blackmail people or they pay people to beef up some restaurant or, you know... Down.
Yelp's been caught several times saying that.
Yeah, exactly.
What they do is they call up a business and say, yeah, you should advertise and become a sponsored listing in Yelp. And if they turn them down, their rating on Yelp goes to shit and all kinds of bad reviews show up, strangely enough.
And they've been sued for libel a few times.
Yeah, we've twice covered as those far stories as I've here. Covered, yeah, twice that we've done on Decking, probably more than that. So... Anyways, let's go on here. Next story up is from Torrent Freak and was actually sent to me by Psychros. Paranoia can be high in the file sharing world, so it will come as no surprise that there are regular rumors that site X or Y, user Y, cannot be trusted. While it's almost certain that some of the sites there are staff members who don't have the community's best interest at heart, evidence of serious foul play is a rare occurrence. Today, however, the owner of a file-sharing discussion forum confirmed that his site was actually a pirate honeypot set up with the aim of gathering otherwise confidential information on uploaders, file hosts, and web companies involved in the piracy ecosystem. By adding insult to injury, the site and the admin's services have been acquired by U.S.-based anti-piracy company. WDF, real name unknown, is the founder of UploaderTalk.com, a web forum designated to attract individuals who like to make money from uploading files to file hosting sites. How the fuck are you making money uploading files? Do file hosting sites pay you to upload shit?
Some of them do.
Yeah, it depends how new it is, things like that, and whether you're hosting it. Some of it's so... bigger servers, faster stuff like that. You can rent out some of your server space to them. So it's like Walking Dead or something like that gets hammered in the first hour, so they have to spread it out. Otherwise, it'd be incredibly slow streaming. It's mainly streaming.
Okay, well, I wish I'd known that. Beer money.
Yeah,
it's not that much apparently, but good enough.
It's low investment, and it doesn't cost the people doing it much, so the profit margin's high, even though the profit itself is low.
Mm.
Like, it costs you a few cents to do the stuff they need you to do, and they might pay you a nickel.
So, anyways, part of the idea is that they join the site to interact with others with similar aims, such as representatives from file-sharing hosts touting their site affiliate schemes. Uploader Talk was founded pretty much a year ago today after WADF was banned from a similar but much larger site called WJunction, probably the largest uploader file hosting hangout anywhere on the web. However, WADF wasn't an annual member. After joining up to WJunction in September 2011, WADF later became a moderator, then super moderator on the site, meaning he had access to a lot of private information such as email and IP addresses. Implication for file hosting sites and uploaders is hardly needed to be pointed out. It is not clear why WADF was eventually removed from WJunction, but there was clearly some kind of falling out. Shortly after WADF's departure and around 12 months ago, internal leaks of information from WJunction were published on the web, obviously from some kind of third-party hack. So they're assuming this guy did that. Uploader Talk reported on these leaks regularly during the November 2012 revelations by Robert King of the Stop File Lockers Anti-Piracy Campaign, which claimed to contain the identities of WJunction's owners and backers. UT, as Uploader Talk became known, was never destined to challenge WJunction as the leading site of its kind. However, in addition to its regular readers, over the past 12 months, the site gathered nearly 1,000 fully signed up members of the uploading and file hosting community. For them, today's announcement will be an unpleasant one. UT is now closed. UT was set up for a number of reasons, but mostly to be a sounding board, proof of concept, and to collect data, WDF said in a statement today. That's the biggest swerve ever. I, WDF, work for the anti-piracy people. I have collected information on many of you, collected info on the file hosts, web hosts, and websites. The official announcement from WDF confirmed that many people have confirmed what many people suspected for some time, that WDF was playing both sides of the fence. I was able to protect some sites and people because I was working for the other side, WDF said. How is that I knew so many things? Well, think about it. I suckered shitloads of you. I built a history, got trust from, blah, 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 blah. So,
I'm amazingly tough sitting at home behind my screens.
Yeah, wearing your boxer shorts and scratching your beer gut. Anyways.
Jesus, you fat fuck.
How do you kill that which has no life?
I love that line.
Easy, you take away its connection.
Oh!
Take away the connection, the body will crumble.
Exactly.
So, damn. I like that. Take away the connection and the body will crumble. Somebody let Sard, you and Fox have your next shirt right there.
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah, apparently this Uploader Talk forum, which I've never been to before. apparently that thing was ran by a okay, people. When you're discussing copyright infringement, which is an illegal activity, use a proxy, use something.
Don't tell them how to do it better. Don't be fucking idiots, man, because the cattle get fucking killed before we do.
Anybody in the IRC, look where my connection's coming from. Do you think that's my real IP address? The answer is no.
just add some 1 and 2 zeros to that, and that's the real one.
Like that. I've specifically registered these two IPs to see if anyone gets the joke. Oh, damn. Yeah. I don't know. Tor was invented for a reason, numbnuts.
Yeah, let me just ring the NSA. They'll have your real one on file.
Yeah, but they'll have to search through all of them to find it.
But in regards to the story, I mean, what do these people expect? I mean, it's always, you know, there's always a risk in doing that kind of shit.
Well, I'm more surprised that people were going on forums and discussing it. It's like, oh yeah, I'm uploading whatever movie. Sure, why not? You know, talking about paying them for shit and stuff like that. It's been assumed that's been going on, but you don't want to publicly admit to it on a website.
It's that idiot badass ego that, you know, like these guys and girls or whatever get this fucking stupid thing in their head that, oh, I need people to like me, so I will do this and then claim responsibility for it instead of just doing it and shutting the fuck up. They want to get noticed and recognized for it. Some stupid fame shit. Yeah. To be a detention whore. Oh, how did I end up in jail? Oh, it was because I was a detention whore.
And that's it right there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I killed 16 men with my bare hands. Why am I in the electric chair? Shouldn't have told anyone, fucker.
Like, you know, when you've dumped the vacuum cleaner filled with raspberry syrup into the pig farm, you really shouldn't tell people what happened to Jeb. I mean, you just shouldn't do it.
No. Jeb is dead, so I don't know how. I just haven't seen him in forever. He may have moved to Florida. There's where people go when you don't see them anymore, right? Florida?
God's waiting room?
Either that or Vegas out in the desert somewhere.
Yeah.
No, don't look in the desert in Vegas. You don't want to know what you'll find.
Well, actually, you know, if you're looking for a cheap source of jewelry, I understand there's lots of dead hookers out there.
And maybe they should send that new reality TV show from Discovery, Diggers, I think it is. They go out looking for ancient coins and shit. That'd be great.
Just the Vegas desert.
Yeah. There would be so many mobsters just waiting for them to dig something up, and then the entire production crew will be buried in the desert.
Oh, that'd be great.
Hey, excuse me, sir, before you shoot us, can we film this?
Get you sign the release form before we kill you?
All right. Was next one up, huh?
Oh, I was just going to say it's up there with the producer. Like, they apparently in that stupid crabbing show last season, a brand new producer encouraged one of the crew members who was just brand new on the boat to jump into the Bering Sea in nothing but his underpants.
That ended well, I'm sure.
Yes, he nearly died.
Oh, my brain.
Yeah, I know, dude. Mine.
Wow. Yep. So, lost his chance to frostbite, I understand.
Just the tip.
He didn't need those nuts. I mean, it's not like he should ever breed.
All right, next one up. This one's from Ars Technica. The chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Representative Bod Representative Bodgadell, has introduced a bill that directly attacks the business model of patent trolls. The bill has a real chance of passing with a wide backing from leadership in both parties. The proposal integrates some of the most integrates most of the ideas from earlier patent reform bills introduced by Senators Chuck Schumer and John Conroy, as well as the SHIELD Act introduced by Representative Pete DeFazio and Jason Chaffetz. DeFazio and Chaffetz are co-sponsors, along with several other House members. Lawyers from three groups that are deeply concerned about patent trolling had universal praise for the bill in a press call earlier today. It's not perfect, but if it's passed, a giant step forward that couldn't have been foreseen, a year ago. The bill would require patent holders to lay out details about their infringement cases early in a lawsuit, and would require the loser of a patent suit to pay legal fees unless they could show that the case was substantially justified. It would expand a program to allow the review of business method patents in the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, a key request by CCIA that has not been without controversy. And the bill would also allow customers or end users of technology to stay a lawsuit while the patent holder and the manufacturer battle it out. That would prevent patent trolls from pulling moves like the one last month where a judge let Lodzis dodge Apple's lawyers while it continued to threaten iOS developers. Oh, that's right. That was the people claiming they own patents on like buttons and, you know, touch screens and shit like that. So, anyways, we're thrilled about the bill, said Matt Levy, chief patent counselor at CCIA. EFF attorney Julie Smills echoed the sentiment. It's a broad bipartisan coalition. We're incredibly excited about the draft. So let me skip down a bit to where they were summarizing the bill. The bill's provisions drafted will take shift the balance of patent owners and licensing power from small companies and inventors to larger. Where was it? Pleading requirements. Here we go. Patent holders filing suit will have to identify exactly what parts of a product infringe on their patent claims and how. And they will allow defendants to better understand what is going on. It will also make patent holders actually do a little bit of work before they start demanding settlements. Let's see. Pleading requirements. Assuming that they are included in public documents and not necessarily unnecessarily sealed, will also make it easier for media to report on the patents. It will become easier for the public to see what's going on, for other potential defendant companies to strategize even if they haven't yet been sued. Fee shifting. If the bill becomes law, any non-prevailing party in any patent case will be liable for reasonable fees and other expenses. So if you lose the patent case, you have to pay the other guy's lawyers, pretty much. Joint provisions and a few other things. Anyways, Congress is actually trying to do something about patent trolling. If you go looking around, you can see that it's a significant cost increase on a lot of small companies. And a lot of new technology just gets shut down. In fact, who was it? It was 1-800-CONTACTS actually went out and acquired a patent specifically to shut down competitors. Like, went out and bought the patent and then used it to sue their competitors out of existence for online eyeglasses. I think we talked about the story on decking.
So, how can you patent selling something online?
They didn't. They patented... It's strange. Apparently, there was a patent out there for real time for taking a webcam and using that to quickly generate a 3D render of a person's face, so you could see what different pairs of glasses would look like on that face. So you could virtually try on glasses on this website. So 1-800-CONTACTS went out and bought this patent because a competitor website had started up, and then sued this competitor into the ground with this patent. They refused to work with them. They didn't want to do any kind of licensing or anything like that. They were specifically using it to shut down competition.
Well, bad business practices.
Want me to point one big major flaw in this proposed bill and just completely gut anyone's hope of anything changing?
Go ahead.
It doesn't solve the underlying problem, which is the patent office has been over-issuing patents. Patents are supposed to only be issued for new and unique ideas that aren't foreseeable by someone in that field. And you can't just really patent an idea. You're supposed to also patent the process behind it.
Well,
we haven't been doing that for a while.
I agree with you completely, but, at least they're trying.
If they were really serious, in addition to whatever they're passing, they would also just audit the patent office and then do a mass revoke.
Oh, God, nobody's going to do that.
That's what it takes to solve the problem.
I'm just thinking nobody's going to do that for reasons of cost.
And audit
to China.
It would be a few hundred thousand, maybe a couple million bucks in the grand scheme of how much we spend. It wouldn't be much.
Well, all right. Now, how many people who hold patents that get invalidated are then going to turn around and try to sue them for invalidating their patents?
Upside to that, you can't be sued. Sovereign country. They have sovereign immunity.
Ooh. Still, and you'd have a lot of people going absolutely nuts over something like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there'd be lobbyists thrown at Washington like nobody's business, and senators that voted against it would somehow become multimillionaires if they weren't already multimillionaires, and no one would really know where that money came from. It would just magically appear in a duffel bag with a thank you note and a box of cookies.
I like the box of cookies because that's the personal touch right there.
It is.
Yeah, anybody can give money, but I made those cookies from scratch.
Box of cookies and your pet turtle back.
All right. Next one up is from The Guardian. Germany's foreign minister, Guido? Is that really his name? Guido. I'm going to call him Guido because it's funny.
But with the Mario.
Now you got me laughing. I can't. Germany's foreign minister, Guido Westerwelle, has called the U.S. ambassador to a personal meeting to discuss the allegations that U.S. Secret Services bugged Angela Merkel's mobile phone. The decision to call in John B. Emerson, who has only been the U.S. representative in Berlin since mid-August, is an unusually drastic measure during previous upheavals in relations, such as over the Syria's crisis. Conversations have taken place between diplomats. Allegations that U.S. government spying has reached the highest levels were met with outrage and disappointment in Germany on Thursday. The country's defense minister, Thomas de Maizière, told ARD television it would be bad if the reports turned out to be true. Yeah, that'd be bad if it turned out to be true.
We're spying on the French. We might as well be spying on the Germans. They could be becoming Nazis at any moment.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, Washington and Berlin could not return to business as usual, he said. Information sources in Germany said Merkel was livid about the reports that the NSA had bugged her phone and was convinced on the basis of a German intelligence investigation that reports were utterly sustained. Or substantiated, I guess would be the actual word that's in the article. The German news weekly Der Spiegel reported by an investigation by German intelligence prompted by research from the magazine that produced plausible information that Chancellor's mobile was targeted by U.S. eavesdropping agencies. She found the evidence substantial enough to call the White House and demand clarification. The outrage in Berlin came days after the French president, Francis Hollande, I guess I'm saying that right. It's French. François? It's Francis. We're calling him Francis Hollande. Called the White House to confront Barack Obama with reports the NSA was targeting the private phone calls and text messages of millions of French people. While European leaders have generally been kept keen to play down the impact of the whistleblowing disclosures in recent months, events in the EU's two biggest countries this week threatened an increasing lack of trust in transatlantic relations. I'm going to stop there. Pretty much, now that all the spying we've been doing is starting to hit public light, it's seriously affecting foreign relations between the U.S. Like, Germany and France are longtime allies, you know, since the end of World War II kind of allies.
You need to insert the word were.
And, URL. I'm going to go with France is even longer than that. Somebody helped fund a revolutionary war.
That's true.
A little
That's
while
very
back.
True. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that, man. I was kind of lumping them together, but I mean, you're absolutely right in that. And so now that all this spying has been coming to light, like the foreign politicians are pissed, and they have every right to be.
Right.
And the fact that they're calling in the U.S. ambassador, and it, okay, let's be real. Germany's ambassador is a party position, the same as our British ambassador, the same as our French ambassador. You know, most of our European ambassadors, they're not doing any policy making. They're not doing any discussions. It's a party, you know, reward position for donors. So, yeah. The fact that they're calling him in to actually do work and demanding answers on all this surveillance. Yeah, this is not going to end well.
They're just the two largest ones so far. Apparently Spain, Portugal, and a few other people have rang the White House to go, hey, fucker, stop it.
Well, I just like the fact that they're actually having some repercussions for this. Because most people seem to go, oh, well, whatever, I got nothing to hide. Well, just your ass. I mean, just like what we were talking about in the IRC a while back. So,
do you think that the American government sort of like, once it all came to light about PRISM and everything like that, sort of said, look, don't bitch about it just yet. Hold off until it blows over. Then we'll talk about it. Like, let's not get everybody up in an uproar here.
For the sake
of all our nations right now with civil disobedience and shit, let's just downplay this as much as we can, and we'll sort it out at the next something pack talks or something like that.
Yeah,
and people are just starting to figure out that, holy shit, even I'm not immune. Top job.
Yeah, no, I totally believe that they were probably saying, yeah, play it down. We'll deal with it later. But they're starting to figure out just how bad it was, and people are bitching, and I think they've got a right to bitch.
Yeah, rightfully so.
I mean, okay, let's be perfectly real. If you are a head of state, several people are probably trying to spy on you. That's probably true. It's not surprising. It's just really funny that we got caught, really. Like, of course they're spying on you. You're a head of state. But the fact that they got caught is pretty bad. So, like, yeah, not only are you spying on somebody, you suck at it.
Good point. I mean, that's obviously why they want Snowden so bad. What do you guys think would actually happen if they got their hands on him and, like, extradited him back to the U.S.?
Well, if they had managed to get him back to the U.S. a couple of months ago, he would have been black bagged. You would never heard of him again.
Right. I think you would have heard of him 3 years down the track, but he would have wanted to change his name to Edwina and go on life as a woman now. Because it seems to be how the brainwashing happens. You know, they just convince you that now you want to dress as a woman, so you'll be discredited throughout the communities.
Oh, man.
But, okay, that might have been it. But I think now, because there's so much publicity surrounding the man, that if he did come back in the States and got arrested, he might actually get a fair trial just because everybody's watching.
Everyone knows his name now, yeah.
No, you pretty much, the White House would put out a blanket ban on any media coverage of it.
Well, that could happen.
Commercial television, so you'd only have your cable networks.
The other thing I would think that might happen would be they'd shoot him and then have somebody go undergo plastic surgery to look like him.
Oh, jeez.
You know, go for the whole replacement factor.
I mean,
okay, that's a little too over the rainbow there, Morps. I was right up with you up until you said plastic surgery and replace him. Right now he's a fugitive from the law. They're just going to shoot him. Like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
he was
but
shot
if they can
in
bring
Russia.
Him back in and then control what he's releasing, quote unquote.
Then you just say he stayed in Russia. And then
if they just shoot him, but I mean, if he makes it back in and they actually start having a trial with him, I think they'd probably want to.
I'm with the IRC, Morps. All you need now is a shotgun and start screaming about reptiles being in the White House.
Have you ever seen Obama eat? I mean,
emergency! Emergency!
Oh, shit.
I've never seen the man eat. For all we know, he has a forked tongue. I mean,
oh, God.
I have seen him speak. I think he could still be eating children alive, but his tongue is not forked.
Prosthetic. I love the occasional fetus for breakfast.
No! Oh, God.
No. You eat the fat babies for breakfast so you have time to burn off the calories. The fetus is a midnight snack.
That's where I'm going wrong.
Oh, God, he's thought about this.
Dead baby jokes have been funny since A Modest
Dead
Proposal.
Babies were around.
All right, let's go for one for some nice, good old-fashioned vitriol. Business.time.com. YouTube is increasing its efforts to generate more revenue with its most popular video producers. Thousands of YouTube creators will now be able to launch paid channels, which will charge a monthly subscription fee of 99 cents or more. The paid channel initiative begins in May as a pilot program with a few dozen accounts, including popular brands like Sesame Street and the Professional Golf Association. Okay, who the hell is going to YouTube to watch golf? Really?
The same people that watch professional eating.
I want to point out, how long has the golf channel existed on cable television?
Oh, no. I mean, people watch golf. I just don't see people going to YouTube for the highlights. But
no, you watch the entire game.
Yeah, I mean, now, any video creator who has 10,000 subscribers has been verified by YouTube will be able to set up a new paid channel and charge a fee for access to their content. Creators can set their own subscription rates, so YouTube has final authority to determine pricing. Every paid channel will offer an initial 14-day free trial. A YouTube spokesperson confirmed that the revenue split between YouTube and creators for subscription channels is similar to the model used for advertising revenue, with creators keeping the majority of the money. Bullshit. Those books aren't open. YouTube does not disclose the exact percentage of this advertising split, but is widely reported to be 55% for creators, 45% for YouTube. The Google-owned video platform has invested heavily to improve the quality of its content as it tries to lure advertisers away from television. because that means that you get to watch a 2-minute car ad for every 30-second clip you watch of somebody playing Minecraft. The company has spent at least $300 million in the production and marketing of a slate of 100 original channels in the last 2 years. YouTube has also produced production studios for creators to use in Los Angeles, London, and Tokyo. A fourth will open in New York in 2014. YouTube declined to disclose the number of subscribers for any existing paid channels, but over the summer, some channel operators said user response has been tepid, you think, according to Variety. A YouTube spokesman said these are still very early days for the initiative. So, you know...
Anyone listening? Live Link.
Yeah.
Live Link.
Live Leak and Vimeo and everybody else is just going to take over because YouTube is trying to go to paid channels. And unfortunately, I see a lot of content creators who are going to see dollar signs and not realize that it's going to run off most of their audience.
It was bad enough when they bought in the copyright stuff where no music in the background with Live Leak getting YouTubers in there. I don't want more of them, dude. They're fucking social trash. People that use YouTube, there's something fucking wrong with them. You know? I just hope they don't come over there. Go to whatever one. Just don't go to Live Leak, man. Leave that as it is. I don't fucking care about your cats.
So, how long we see porn on YouTube? Like, now they're going to start charging...
Oh, God, don't make me come to America and slap you with the ignorant stick. What are you, porn on fucking YouTube? There's porn all over YouTube, dude.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure it gets brought down, you know.
Big's got a whole
fairly
bunch
quickly,
of links.
But
no, it doesn't.
No,
hey, Big, if we it's get not that in English, we need to prove Sard wrong.
Yeah, apparently, because I didn't think there was, but
dude, if you can type Spanish or anything like that, you want to watch a new movie in high definition, but don't want to wait for the download.
Oh, we have to test this.
Put it in Spanish or Japanese. Most English content gets pulled down because a lot of people see it and complain about it. It's mainly foreign languages that you'll get movies, stuff like that, all throughout YouTube. It's just about being able to search the content creatively.
So, Morps, when you were doing that nice little looking up that weird file that means German incest porn, what was the name of it?
I don't remember.
Oh, God.
How the hell?
I have to go.
Why would I want to remember that?
So I can type it into YouTube and see what comes up.
I typed it into Google because I didn't read German. It's like, no, but I can see Deutsch. And,
let me open up a private browser and grab my Tor fob.
But, yeah, it's just a little trick if anyone out there. Use Spanish and Japanese on YouTube to find extra special stuff.
You're in that weird special, part of YouTube again, fun. Where somebody's beating a fish with a brick.
Yeah, that's fish brick.
Actually, I was thinking of How to Basic, but, you know, that too. So.
Oh.
Is that a groan of pleasure or
two?
Oh, yeah, Madman's never seen How to Basic. Yeah, How to Basic, put it on a condom. Have a nice day. Now, let's go to the last story here. This is from ToxChat.com, T-O-X. For anybody who's not aware, ToxChat was supposed to be the next Skype, and they were billing it as this highly secured chat replacement. One of the largest contributors to the Tox project, SLVR, Sliver, quit the project and posted a rant to GitHub, denouncing it as a failure and other developers as incompetent. He posted the issue to GitHub, mirrored below, in case it gets removed. What he said was, "I'm quitting. I came here to Tox to develop what I thought was going to be a groundbreaking new piece of software. There are many issues with the software which I saw, which were the reasons I came to developing for Tox, and these issues still exist in the software today. A serious leakage of privacy in the DHT, a user with majority control, could easily trace out a user's social graph based on who a user connects to. Mounting such a simple attack is trivial if you're an attacker with sufficient resources, i.e. the NSA. This weakness is fundamental to the design of the DHT, and that Irungintu has decided on. possible protocol disruption between too much or based on too much data being sent in the clear. You know what? I'm not even going to read the rest of this guy's rant. I don't need to read the rest of this guy's rant. The short version of it is that one of the internal developers of ToxChat has basically hung out all the dirty laundry that it's not secure, and the people developing it apparently don't know how to make it secure. And the only reason I wanted to cover the story is don't use ToxChat, because apparently it's full of problems. But it was one of the ones that was being billed as a Skype replacement, so I felt it was important to point it out. But I'm not going to get through the rest of this guy's rant, because it's not well written, and I don't feel like finishing it out, because it's kind of sad, actually. So, short version is, ToxChat is apparently not up to snuff. Don't use it. Like, they're running off their developers. It's not up to snuff, so.
Never even
good
seen
to know.
It.
Yeah, I hadn't either. I haven't heard of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of the ones they were banding about as a Skype replacement.
I see. Well, was it decentralized?
Huh? Yeah, it used DHT. It actually worked very similar to a RetroShare.
Oh, okay. Huh.
So, you know, I mean, it's just, yeah, it was supposed to be secure chat, and apparently it's really not, so. And the last story up I have from today is from thetelegraph.co.uk. Japan's space agency has successfully test-fired a space cannon designed to launch a projectile into an asteroid as part of a search for the origins of the universe. Leave it to Japan. The device will be aboard a Hayabusa 2 space probe that is scheduled to take off in 2014 and rendezvous with a asteroid identified as 1999 JU3 that orbits between Earth and Mars in 2018. Once in position close to the asteroid, the space cannon will detach itself and remotely fire a 4-pound metal projectile onto the surface of the miniature planet. An artificial crater that can be created by the device is expected to be a small one, a few meters in diameter. But by acquiring samples from the surface that is exposed by the collision, we can get fresh samples that are less weathered by the space environment or heat. The Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency said in a statement. The mother craft will then land close to the crater and use a small rover to collect samples that would otherwise have been below the surface of the asteroid and return to Earth in late 2020. In all, JAXA scientists say that the craft will shadow the 2,950-foot diameter asteroid for around 18 months. The project has the potential to revolutionize our understanding of pristine materials essential to understanding the conditions for planet formation and the emergence of life, JAXA said. It can provide important information needed to develop strategies to protect the Earth from potential hazards, the agency added. Moreover, robotic sampling missions to primitive bodies will be pathfinders for human missions that might make asteroid resources to facilitate human exploration and the development of space. Hayabusa 2 is the second project to recover particles from deep space and will build on the success of Hayabusa, which in 2010 gathered surface dust from an asteroid and returned to Earth. So Japan is building a spacecraft that will shoot a very large shotgun at an asteroid, land a robot on it, collect material, then return to Earth.
I believe it when I see it.
If they angle the shot correctly, they should be able to get two asteroids with one shot. Because the cannon in space, there's not going to be anything to mount it to, so when it fires, you have a projectile going out one end at how many ever kilometers an hour, and then the cannon going the other direction in that same speed. So if you armor the back of the cannon, angle it, you get asteroid A and then asteroid B, and you can double your research up here. I'm seeing two rovers and a second pit stop. You just have to be really good at aiming. Or aimbot. I mean, it is a computer.
Aimbot. Yeah, we've incorporated aimbot technology into our satellites. They look for the large brown part.
He's twitching. Look at him. He's twitching. Hacks.
All right. Well, I thought it was cool. So, anyways.
I've just heard guns in space before. The Russians had a machine gun on their space station.
Yes, hello. Hey, Morp, sorry to interrupt, man, but actually, I've got one of those idiot fuckwit calls from India right now who are trying to tell me I got a virus on my computer. You're a fucking idiot, you dumb cunt. For the last 20 minutes, man, I've had that stupid cunt on the line. It was fucking great. I was trying to get it on the show.
Yeah, I should have piped it through.
Oh, I couldn't get it loud enough, dude.
Yeah, last time I got one of those, they said, oh, you know, it's, oh yeah, you have a virus on your computer.
I missed the whole space cannon thing because of that cunt.
Like, well, which computer? The one you're in front of right now. You mean the Commodore 64? Yes, that one.
Yes.
Okay. It's like, I want to meet the man who wrote the Windows virus that runs on a fucking Commodore 64.
Love that,
and after
man.
That, you need to meet the man who wrote the version of Windows that runs on a Commodore 64. Yeah. And then introduce him to whoever works at Microsoft.
Yeah, I tell you, I keep waiting for me to actually get one of those calls when I'm at home and not like at work or someplace out in public where I might get in trouble so I can just act really racist on the phone.
That's where I got to get a phone patch, man, for that shit.
Really should. You get them so often. I think we could have, all of us could have some fun with it.
I did. I'll get three today now. That's cool. The start.
I would love to answer one of those because, you know, it's always an Indian call center. I'm sorry.
I just love it, man. I'm doing pure decking. Hello, sir. You have a virus on your computer? Oh, I do. Do I?
Just come on there with your best redneck accent. You don't sound quite American. Just go from there.
Oh, what you should have done is you should have started cussing Morps out. God damn it, Morps. Quit putting viruses on my computer. I'm in right doing your show, trying to be friendly, and you're going and trying to hack my shit.
Wow. I like how she was actually trying to cuss you back as opposed to just hanging up.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right, let's move on to this. Speaking of, you know, shit on people's computers.
Me love you long time.
That's what you need to do is get one of those. Next time you get that phone call, try to get them to say that.
Indian, though, I don't think it works.
We got to find an awesome soundboard. Then you get your audio patch and make sure it works both ways. That way we can fuck with them by giving you links and WAV files and stuff to play to them. That would be good times. That could be a whole new show.
Oh, hell. Just,
with Indian callers with Aryu.
Just pipe in the Nether from Minecraft. That's horrifying enough.
Yeah.
All right. So, what I want to talk about in Digital Dojo tonight is called Weebly. Weebly is a stealth PHP web shell that simulates an SSH-like connection. It is an essential tool for web application post-exploitation and can be used as a stealth backdoor or as a web shell to manage legit web accounts, even free-hosted ones. It does require Python, and it comes in Backtrack, Kali Linux, and Blackbox Linux. It's a little PHP backdoor that the actual backdoor is generated by a Python script. So, I was looking at deploying this on a system before I decided I'd already bashed it enough and it wasn't really worth the effort of getting into the damn thing. What this thing does is you use the Python script to generate a PHP file, right? And you do .weebly generate, and then you want to give it a password and the output path, and if you don't give it a path, it'll just generate whatever folder you're sitting in. So this is Linux command line stuff, right? And it will generate a file called weebly.php. You probably want to name that something else because people are going to notice. But, you upload this PHP file somehow to a web server. And then you can connect to it using .weebly, the URL, and then the password. The PHP file and then the password you set when you generated the PHP file. And you will get what looks like a telnet terminal to this web server, and it's piping it through PHP. So if you can get a file on a web server, which for a lot of web servers, you know, especially the ones that let you upload crap, it's not really that hard. You know, weebly.php.jpg, and then upload it to a forum. Just a thought. Yeah, a lot of websites don't do as good file checking. They pretty much look at the extensions. So this will let you get a shell running as the web server on a box. And if you are really desperate to set up some kind of a mirror to bounce something through, go set up one of those free web accounts, drop this PHP file on it, and you can bounce to a web account to get you a you know, some kind of shell going on. Not to mention a lot of web hosts, you know, especially the ones that don't like give you full FTP or SSH access to a web server. You dump this kind of shell on it, you've got console access to this web server. Linux has privilege escalation, so if you're wanting to really abuse the system, this is a great way in. And all you got to do is get this one little PHP file on a server, which is a lot easier than you think it is. So I was planning on going a little bit deeper into Weavely, but since I ended up not using it, I it's been a little while since I screwed with it. So I looking at the time on the show, I'm not really going to go in crazy depth with it. But pretty much, it's got a whole bunch of different modules you can use for exploit, you know, for privilege escalation or trying to get specific files off the system. A few other little things here and there for it. But pretty much, I always just, once you get your shell on it, you honestly, last time I used it, all I used it for was get a Metasploit session going, and then I used Metasploit for everything because I know it a little bit better. So, but
legit use, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a PHP command line then, so
No. It will try to get a regular command line.
If
PHP is properly locked down on the web server, it will drop you to a PHP command line. But you can still run PHP code on the server and get it to, you know, usually get it to pull in something else that way.
Okay.
Maybe even run it. But depends on how locked down the server is. If it's got a way in, because it tries a bunch of different ways to actually get a shell.
Okay.
It'll give you a real shell, and it's like, cool, a telnet session.
Okay.
But if it can't, you'll get a PHP shell.
Okay, that makes sense then. Huh. Yeah. I haven't heard of that one. That's cool. I haven't run into many web servers that I've needed to, that I could do something like that with. That's cool.
Yeah, it's these things are great fun to play with. The backtrack, I know where it is on backtrack. I haven't figured out where it is on Kali yet, but I haven't spent a hell of a lot of time in Kali because I haven't bothered to rebuild my system since it came out. In the /pentest/ web shells, or maybe it's web servers web shells. Yeah, I usually find it in a few minutes on a backtrack system, so it doesn't matter. They've got a bunch of different web shells, and you know, they've got ones for ASP, they got ones for PHP, but the Weavely one is cool because it uses a little Python shell and gives you a full-on command line. So most of them don't do that. Most of them, you're throwing commands in a web browser and kind of waiting on the response and hoping it doesn't crash out.
Right.
But since this one's actually giving you a full-on shell, it's a lot easier to pipe something else up to the server and get it to do something, you know, whatever it is your goal is, even if it's just to bounce off of it. That used to be a thing we would do in high school, actually, was bounce off the free web hosts to get to places.
Nice.
So,
set up some type of proxy that you connect through, or?
Yeah, you would drop the, at the time, PHP wasn't really much of a thing, so it was CGI proxies. You'd find the free web hosts that let you run CGI or the early versions of ASP, mm-hmm. and you drop the little web proxies on them and use them to bounce around.
Okay.
But, cool. Yeah, nowadays you just drop a web shell and get you a freaking SSL or get you a SSH session going on.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so lots of fun to be had with this thing. It's really worth exploring. I've really only scratched the surface of it, but yeah, Weavely definitely worth exploring, especially if you do any kind of website stuff. It's also good, even if you're not interested in cracking a web service, but if you run one, it's good to know this shit exists. If you ever see weavely.php, weavely.php on your website, you've been hacked and somebody's using your server.
Yeah. That was the other thing I was thinking of when you mentioned, you know, renaming that file. It's good to know what the default is.
Right. Because
hackers are lazy.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, hell, they just admit to it right on the website, so the court doesn't even have to think about it, right?
Yeah, apparently.
But, yeah, no, it's good to follow the web shells, even if you're not directly involved in any kind of InfoSec. If you're just running a website, it's good to know these things exist, because, for one thing, a lot of the cheaper web hosts don't give you a real shell. You're supposed to do everything through a little web management interface. So it can be kind of a pain to administer your site through one of those things. So if you just want to pop this thing on there, you get a real shell so you can get some work done and take it off when you're done, so you don't have to. You know, some people, their website, they actually recommend a use of it as administering your website. I'm not sure using a PHP shell backdoor to admin your website is the best way to go, but just because I'd be worried somebody else would find it.
Yeah.
Yes, they have a password function. Yes, it's scrambled. But I'd still be concerned about somebody finding it. So.
Right. I guess in a pinch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely in a pinch. But, you know, if you ever get a device that something's kind of semi-open, but you can't get code to execute, a web shell's a great way to go, because most of the time they have a web server. So you get the web shell on it, you run the web shell, and you can get the thing to kick off commands. So,
cool.
Yeah, great fun. Anyways, so... Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. Shoot the Noise is now back on Wednesdays. The Missing Dialogues on Tuesdays. I Have Nothing on Saturdays. And RU's new show, Witch Doctor RU in the 4chan Medical Advice Forum.
I'll run with it for now. So yeah, if you've got any serious medical problems that need serious attention, like ASAP, drop me an email. I'll get back to you in 2 to 3 weeks. All right. So yeah, if you've cut an artery, drop me a line and I'll tell you how to stitch it up. First, you're going to need some vinegar, lots of it, then salt.
Oh.
And if you ever have massive hemorrhoid problems, a quick splash of rubbing alcohol right on your anus should solve that immediately.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow. Yes, it's Witch Doctor Are You? Coming soon.
Of course, the Galaxy 15... I can't talk. I'm live to it. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback form, the subreddit... The Galaxy 15 Radio Sim on OS Grid, which I don't think anybody's looked at in like a month. The
many unfinished projects.
And, of course, the IRC channel. Hi, guys. So,
hi, Mark.
They did that when we started the show, actually. Lemon juice. They're suggesting lemon juice for the hemorrhoids. I don't... That's
There's an old radio show out there called what is it? Sloan Goddamn Show. I think it's called The Goddamn Show with Sloan on it. Totally different station. Way before we started. He shaves his balls live on air and then dips it in lemon juice while wearing his girlfriend's underwear. Just as he's dipping his balls, she comes home from work and catches him. It's hilarious. He's also the guy with the shit in the microwave bit. He actually threw his microwave out of a New York apartment about 6 stories up and landed on a car down below. You can hear him get arrested. It's fantastic. What a goddamn show for Sloan.
That sounds classic.
He doesn't do radio anymore that I know of, but yeah, check it out.
You do the restraining order, probably.
And I don't know if there's actual recordings of it either. So I used to listen to it live.
Yeah.
It's totally worth it if you can find it.
That's awesome. All right, I'm going to hit play on this music now.